Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, it's January, the year 2012, and what does that mean?
It means our famous once-a-year show on list of not-so-old things
is coming up. We're going to do it this month, Lord willing. We do it every year. It's an annual tradition here at Real Science Friday. So please continue to tune in. And what is the list of not-so-old things? When we first started this years ago, it had a more awkward title. It was the list of not-so-slow things and old things, because scientists who are atheists and evolutionists, they'd always say things take millions of years. And little by little, Fred, did you ever notice that some of the things that take millions of years, they were documenting that they would happen rapidly?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about those all the time on this show.
All the time. And then there are other things that are supposed to be millions of years old that, lo and behold, they're right there, right now, today, alive.
Yeah, and that list grows every Friday on our show.
That's right. So Real Science Friday has an annual tradition where we do the list of not-so-old things. So we will tune in this month, January. We'll do the 2012 list of not-so-old things. And by the way, you could look at the current one. You could look at the show summary, see all the soft tissue from the dinosaurs. That is a stunning story. Overwhelming evidence that the Earth is young and that dinosaurs did not live millions of years ago, because then they wouldn't have left blood cells and blood vessels that are original biological material.
And all that carbon-14 that we find in dinosaurs and diamonds and natural gas and oil.
We find it everywhere.
And it shouldn't be there because it should have long turned into nitrogen.
Right. So there's so many arguments, scientific observations, and they overlap one another, and they form this very powerful mountain of evidence that the Earth is young. And the solar system and the universe, the galaxies. So we'll look at that again, and we'll do it in grand style. We'll have a great time. We'll go through our entire list, and it's been growing since last year. There's more and more evidence all the time.
Yeah, it's a huge paradigm we're against. They teach this in the public schools millions of years. They teach it in museums. You see it in movies. You see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. So this is a very important show, and it shows tons of evidence that flies against the face of this paradigm of millions and billions of years.
All right. So our list of not-so-old things coming up, please tune in. Tell your friends, realsciencefriday.com. And Fred, I love at realsciencefriday.com our description of the program, because we say, don't be fooled by NPR, National Public Radio's parody Science Friday, which is on hundreds of radio stations. We are Real Science Friday, and we are on one radio station.
And all those radio stations are parroting us.
That's right. That's right. It's a lot of fun. Okay, why don't we begin? We've been going through the winter edition of Creation Magazine, and it's so chock-filled with great science articles. I thought, Fred, maybe we could begin with the one about the illusion that we have fossils showing a progression from apes to human beings.
Well, yeah, they show
Homo sapien.
They show these pictures in the textbooks of a ape-like creature turning into another somewhat more human-like creature, but over a progression, it becomes a human. So you see this illusion from an ape-like creature to a human. Now, Bob, there's a scientific term for that, and I have troubles pronouncing it. I was wondering if you could help me.
What is it?
So I didn't tell you before the show. I wrote it down on this paper.
Oh.
I need help pronouncing what this illusion is.
All right.
What this sequence
Should
is,
I
a scientific
look at it?
Term. Yeah, all here right. it is.
It's called baloney.
Baloney. We need to get out our baloney detectors.
Okay. It's called baloney because time after time after time, there's so much powerful evidence that this claimed sequence is not valid. And that powerful conclusion by looking at the evidence is so often drawn by the evolutionists themselves, the paleontologists, the paleoanthropologists. They make this argument. They say, look, we like to believe that we have all these fossils that we could arrange in order showing the evolution of Homo sapiens, but the truth is we don't have it.
Yeah. So we like to quote evolutionists who are, you know, this a particular guy, Dr. Bernard Wood, he's a paleoanthropologist and evolutionist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do encounter intellectually honest, or they strive to be intellectually honest scientists. He's an evolutionist. But he says, it's interesting what he said. He said, our progress from ape to human looks so smooth, so tidy. It's such a beguiling image that even the experts are loath to let it go. But it's an illusion. He admits what we've been saying all along. It's an illusion of evolution. It's not true.
It is an illusion. And Fred, you know what Aaron Ra would say?
What's that?
If you can't prove it, if it's not true, you got to correct it.
No. Aaron Ra, who's that well-known YouTube atheist who we debated, had some great shows, he would say that this is an out-of-date quote and an out-of-context quote. That's what he would say.
Automatically, any quote that we use to support creation is out of context.
Out of context and out of date, even when it's so right on topic and a current quote. So this guy, Bernard Wood, he writes for publications like New Scientist and the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences and elsewhere, the Journal of Anatomy. And he's been making this argument now for about 10 years. The quote you just read goes way, way back to October 2002. But even more recently, he wrote in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and that's like the mother lode of atheistic Darwinism. He wrote that, quote, the origin of our own genus remains frustratingly unclear. And the title of that article, Fred, I like this, was Did Early Homo Sapiens, Did They Migrate Out of Africa or Into Africa? And that's such a typical example of just the storytelling that Darwinists do to public school students, for example, and people who believe pop culture. And they act as though they have it all nailed down. They figure out what we've evolved from, what we evolved into, how it happened, when it happened, where it happened. But when you read the experts over and over and over, they say, you know, we just don't have that evidence.
Yeah, they present these stories, but there's no science behind them. It kind of reminds me of a friend of ours of the show. He works at the public schools as a maintenance person, and he overheard in a classroom that the teacher—
So he's a creationist.
He's a creationist.
Working in a public school.
That's right.
I hope he's not the principal. Or
He's a
maintenance guy.
Yeah, and so he said he overheard the teacher teaching the class that we came from creatures in the sea, and how do we know? Because if you taste your blood, it's got a salty taste to it.
It's just...
Can you believe that?
That's just because there are no minerals
story. That's a story.
On land.
Yeah.
There are no minerals on land.
So that was his evidence for evolution. So this friend of ours kicked up one of his loud construction equipment and tried to drown that out.
That's right. He did. He turned on his jackhammer. And the teacher's like, and then we can't...
And then we taste it just like the salt.
Yeah. That is so ridiculous. The reason the seas are salty is because of erosion from the continents, bringing minerals into the seas, and the seas don't, and the oceans do not have a way to get rid of those minerals, like the Dead Sea getting more and more salty. And that's just part of the story of where the seas got their salt. But anyway, it's just so juvenile, as we've seen over and over. Such simplified storytelling that is not logical on the face of the argument, yet it's believed by millions of trusting people.
Yeah.
Fred, could I read more of the quote that you just read from Bernard Wood? Because this is just so interesting. Okay. So he's a committed evolutionist. He's not a creationist, right?
No, not at all.
No. If he were a creationist, New Scientist and the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they wouldn't want him to publish.
They wouldn't have allowed the article.
Right. But because he's an evolutionist, he gets away with saying this. There is a popular image of human evolution that you'll find all over the place, from the backs of cereal packets to advertisements for expensive scientific equipment. On the left of the picture, there's an ape, stocky, jutting jaw, hunched in the knuckle-walking position. On the right, a man, graceful, high forehead, striding purposefully into the future. Between the two is a succession of figures that become ever more like humans as the shoulders start to pull back, the torso slims down, the arms retract, the legs extend, the cranium expands, and the chin recedes. Now, Fred, Aaron Ra is saying, you're taking this guy out of context. You're taking him out of context.
Well, you know, I kind of look like the guy second from the right on that chart.
Yeah, right. So then he goes on, Bernard Wood, he says, our progress from ape to human looks so smooth, so tidy, it's such a beguiling image that even the experts are loath to let it go, but it is an illusion.
An illusion, that's right, illusion. A story.
And these are modern quotes, and they're right on topic. They're not conceivably out of context.
That's right. And you know, he said something else that I thought was really interesting, because we've been saying this for a long time, how evolutionists like to turn fragments of fossils into full-fledged creatures. Mm-hmm. So he said this, he said, we know from living animals that many uncontested species are difficult to distinguish using bones and teeth. Well, no kidding, we've been saying that for a long time. Right. You know, it reminds me of they don't even have Lucy's feet, you know, the statue, right?
Right.
They show human feet.
Australopithecus,
yeah.
Lucy.
Yeah. And they show her human feet, and yet those aren't the correct fossils. And they asked a professor at a college near that museum in St. Louis what they should do about that. Should they change it since it's wrong? And what did she say?
Well,
no, absolutely not. We shouldn't change it.
Because it's a good teaching tool.
Yeah. And yet it's deceptive.
That happens.
They have to use deception
over.
To sell yeah. evolution. If evolution is so convincing, how come you have to use deception
yeah.
to prove your case?
Remember we did a story, Fred, on Real Science Friday about a year ago about a bird species in New Zealand that only went extinct, like in the last couple centuries. It just died out in modern times. And scientists thought for decades that they were different species. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I definitely remember that show.
And they have thousands of bones. They have entire skeletons. This is a...
Yeah, in this case, they had, well, yeah, almost, I think the entire skeleton. That's right.
Yeah, multiple skeletons and literally thousands of bones. And it turns out it was like an emu-type bird.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they now know that these different species of bird that they thought they had were actually one species, a male and a female.
A male and a female. So it was the same species.
It was the same species. And, of course, you could hear the evolutionists say, this one evolved into that one over 3 million years. Notice how that one is bigger. And it's reality, they were married.
Yeah. So I was going to say, my wife would say that I'm a different species, but that's besides the point.
Right. In fact, the scientist involved in that research project made our point for us. And he said, if we have such a hard time understanding the bones that we're looking at of a modern species, when we have thousands of bones, how confident should we be when we have just fragments of things that we think lived millions of years ago? And then we're trying to put them in some kind of an evolutionary relationship. This is storytelling.
It's
that's
a
what
fairy
Darwinism
tale for
is.
Fairy tale for grown-ups. And you know, it's just like the horse series, right? I think it was Niles Eldridge, a famous paleontologist, that said that the only place the horse series exists as evidence is in the textbooks. In other words, there is no evidence for it. It's a story in the textbooks.
Right. They show you the little horse, like Eohippus, evolving into this hippus and that hippus and equus eventually. But what they don't tell you is they find these in different orders in the strata, including in the northern and southern hemispheres. the number of ribs go way back and forth.
Yeah, they go one way or the other, you know.
Yeah, and the number of toes.
Up and down. And, yeah.
The number of toes change. So it's not the cute little story that they present to kiddies in school. They're misleading people, and it's intentional for those who originally designed these teaching tools, these icons of evolution. They're deliberately leaving out important information. But then a lot of other people are like the teachers of biology. They're willfully ignorant. They don't want to know where their teaching tools are misleading students.
Yeah, willfully ignorant. I mean, there's a doctor professor at Harvard University that refused to take down his Haeckel drawings of the embryos. And I pointed that out to him. He admitted they were wrong, but he said exactly what you said, that they were a teaching tool. Well, wait a minute, why do you have to use deception again? Why don't you show the actual pictures that we now have of these embryos, different
without
animals.
Without gill slits.
Without gill slits.
As they were drawn in by the man who was discredited as committing career fraud.
He was discredited
Ernest
at the time
Haeckel.
He did it.
He was discredited then, discredited since, confirmed ultimately by 4D ultrasound and, you know, thousands of babies that have been killed. They don't have gill slits. And he was the founder of the Society of Ethical Atheism, and he's a fraud.
Yeah, he's a fraud.
Yeah.
He's got a drawing that's a complete fraud. And again, this professor had it on his webpage, and he refused to take it down.
Right. And what school was that from?
That was Harvard. You ever hear of that school?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Used to be a Christian school.
Yeah. Gone downhill.
Oh, big time.
It's entropized. All right. So, Fred, how about we go to something interesting? When you have a false worldview, you're going to make a lot of huge mistakes. Like we covered recently, the Big Bang predictions that were off by 9 universes.
9 universes.
That's way off.
That's way, way off.
Yeah. But there are estimates of when certain things lived, and those are being changed dramatically in our favor, that is in the creationist favor, all the time, because these are being shown to live earlier and earlier and earlier, that is, eventually all at the same time, all represented in the Precambrian explosion, eventually. But what is this article titled Twice is Wrong? What is this article about?
So you're talking about those primitive cells. They refer to them as primitive. You know, that's one of their buzzwords to give you the illusion that it's like really simple.
Primitive, when like primitive complex eyes in a trilobite.
Yeah, primitive complex.
Primitive, right. Primitive complex eyes in a trilobite. Yeah. And Fred, decades ago, they'd look at the trilobite, and even then they were shocked. Why is this complex thing so low in the geologic column? What's it doing there? It's so sophisticated. But that's before they understood genetics.
Yeah.
And now we know that the complexity that we saw with the naked eye is nothing. It's not a candle
it's
to
not
a
at
forest
all.
Fire.
And I've got a quote from an evolutionist that says, the Darwinian prediction of simple to complex over time is not borne out by the evidence. So it's one of the many failed predictions
right,
of Darwinism.
Right. And now, like a sponge, they find that a sponge is 70% the same genetically as a human in our protein coding sections. I mean, this is stunning.
It was probably the idea for SpongeBob.
Thanks, Fred. And what does a sponge have need for this whole genetic toolbox for the blueprint? But it turns out that God made a genetic blueprint, and he used that to create thousands of different kinds of animals. And from that blueprint, he uses the tools he wants to use. So it's not that humans are 95 or 94% similar to chimps, and our Y chromosome, remember, is 30% different, which shocks the evolutionists. They say it's horrific. And it's not that sponges are 70% the same as people. It's that we all share the same designer, and he used the same building blocks to make us.
Yeah, fundamental framework. And without some of these common elements, we could argue that there is more than one designer. But God has designed things to point to one single designer. Mm. That's why there's one DNA code, one type of sequence. We're all carbon-based, right? We're not silicon-based. You don't find, like, rock people and
right.
You know, carbon
good point.
People.
And we're information-based.
Information-based.
DNA is ultimately about information.
That's right.
Hey, well, Fred, you're about to use information that's out of date.
It's
just out of date because this comes from Nature magazine from 2011.
Wow. Okay.
A discovery in Northwest Scotland. They found something that they thought should be a half a billion years old.
Yeah. They said that they found these primitive relatives of all animals, plants, and fungi. Is that like a bunch of guys together and a bunch of fun guys?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they have left the oceans and moved into terrestrial waters twice as long ago as thought. Twice as long ago. It turns out that twice as long ago is 500 million years.
500?
That's a real small error, isn't it?
That's a small error.
Wow.
Imagine if you were off that much in algebra class.
Or in your accounting. Well, I wish I had that problem. I could be off by
Obama.
If I had 500 million to be
off
by. If
Obama was off of a balanced budget by a half a billion dollars, we'd be ecstatic. Don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion, whatever you do, because he'll spend it. So according to New Scientist and Nature, these articles show that the date is now twice as wrong as it was before. It's twice as wrong because they're finding these things closer and closer to what they think is the beginning of evolution. In reality, the sedimentary layers all over the world are the result of a global flood. That's why we have sedimentary layers. That's why there's some semblance of an order to the deposition of different kinds of organisms. And they point out also, though, Fred, that the exceptionally detailed three-dimensional preservation of these tiny fossils blows their mind.
Yeah. Isn't it what we'd expect with a global flood?
With a global flood that was recent, because if in fact these tiny organisms are a billion years old, well, you have a billion years of heating and cooling, and continents erode rapidly. They erode rapidly. The rains and the snows and the rivers, they carry enormous, you know, thousands of metric tons of sediments into the oceans on a constant basis. And so any fossils that are on the continents would erode a thousand times over and faster than the supposed movement of plates are going to slowly build up these mountains. And the tiny, beautifully, exceptionally preserved fossils are not going to remain intact for millions or hundreds of millions or even billions of years. It is not reasonable to suppose that these things are possible. These things are magic make-believe.
That's right. There's a second example in here of a giant shrimp-like creature. Now, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Giant shrimp-like?
Yeah.
So they were off on that one by 30 million years. So not quite so bad, but you know, 30 million years, hey, that's quite a bit. So you got a 500 million-year mistake. A 30 million year mistake.
And that's
evolution
just in two.
History is all over the board.
That's just in two species.
Yeah.
And just in the most recent findings. Whereas biblical creation remains rock solid with its track record of saying throughout all these decades, centuries, millennia, that Earth's history occurred in less than 10,000 years. And there is no wiggle room there, Fred. I mean, that's such a solid time frame, whereas the evolutionists, they have millions and billions of years to fudge with, but they're all over the map and constantly restating their conclusions, moving them closer and closer to a biblical understanding that God created all this life at the beginning.
Well, time is the hero of the plot for evolutionists. That's a quote from an evolutionist. Time is their hero.
Yeah, time is their god.
And they play with it.
Given
crazy.
Enough time, they think they can get anything, but you can't get the impossible.
That's right.
You just can't get the impossible. Speaking of the impossible, Fred, what are the chances that an archaeologist is going to dig up some skeleton of a hominid and find a cell phone in his hand?
0.0%.
I'd say that's about right. Whether it be an iPhone or an Android, it's not going to happen. Well, astronomers said they found a star that shouldn't exist, and it is so dramatic because they say it should be 13 billion years old, and yet it is impossibly modern. That's their words.
Their words, impossibly modern.
From ScienceDaily.com and New Scientist, this is a star that's found in the constellation of Leo. And Fred, they look at the composition of it and they say, well, we know this is an ancient star. They don't, but that's what they think. Yet it's modern. And that's a contradiction to the Big Bang.
Sounds like yet another contribution to our list of not so old things.
Not so old things. That's a great point.
And can we get an artist out there to draw a star with kind of a hand coming out holding a cell phone? Or...
Yeah, or the same thing with an archaeological dig. That'd be cool to see some.
Yeah, the proto-human with the cell phone, with a BlackBerry.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. If some artist
and
wanted
to
draw that.
If he's slightly evolved from that, he'd be holding an iPod.
That's right. So, Fred, we have these many examples of things that supposedly happened millions of years ago, yet we find evidence that they're still happening today, like things that were supposedly extinct 80 million years ago, and they're still alive. And things that supposedly took millions of years to happen, and they happen rapidly. And things that even took thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, like the formation of marble. And it turns out that mud hardens into marble-like rock within days.
Within days.
Not within a geologic era. So, all right, pretty cool. And Creation Magazine, I so strongly recommend it because these examples go on and on. There's an article in here, Fred, that I just absolutely love about information. And the title of the article is a bit peculiar.
Yeah, the title is Noah Thoreau.
Is that the title? Oh, yeah, that's the title. You can't read the title because it's all scrambled
up. It's scrambled, but if you scramble it a different way, it comes out, and there was life.
And there was life. And so this article by Gordon Howard in Creation Magazine, it explains, it talks about information. And there are atheists and evolutionists who think that information is made of matter. They think it has mass and weight. Fred, it's just...
Yeah, because they want to cling to everything is basically energy and material, right?
And matter, right.
Yeah, matter and energy. That's
they
it.
They want to believe everything is physical, material, because they don't believe in the spiritual reality of existence. And of course, ideas are not physical. And what a great article by Gordon Howard, who goes through and he talks about the rules of information science, the laws of information science, and you need a sender, you need a recipient, and the recipient has to be another person or another process, and there has to be a code. Some concept is coded and then decoded. If a computer just randomly puts letters on a screen and they spell out, I love you, it actually doesn't have information.
That's right.
Not information, because who's I?
Yeah.
I love you is meaningful when there is a person who's representing some claim.
And who's you?
And who's you? And what is love? But when a computer, you know, atheists think computers are beginning to have artificial intelligence. Computers don't even know what computers are.
Yeah.
They don't know that they exist.
Yeah, it leads to science fiction movies like The Terminator and all
those things. They can't understand because they are made of matter and only matter, and knowledge and information is not matter.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.